Let's turn tonight to the book of Genesis, chapter 1. We're going to finish chapter 1 tonight, amen? So that's great. And matter of fact, let me just read our text to you. We're going to be in verse 26 tonight of chapter 1. It says, "Then God said, 'Let us make man in our image according to our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth.' So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male, female. He created them, and then God blessed them, and God said to them, 'Be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over every living thing that moves on the earth.' And God said, 'See, I have given you every herb that yields seed, which is in the face of all the earth, and every tree whose fruit yields seed, to you it shall be for food. And also to every beast of the earth, to every bird of the air, and to everything that creeps on the earth in which there is life, I have given every green herb for food.' And it was so. Then God saw everything that he had made, and indeed it was very good. And so the evening and the morning were the sixth day." We're going to finish with the sixth day tonight. Now, we've been on a little break, and what happens is that when there's a lull in our teaching, sometimes the energy seems to leave. Don't let that happen. We want to remind ourselves what we've learned thus far. That creation, just chapter 1, what a glorious chapter it is. Creation reveals to us the glory of God. Psalm 19:1, talking about the heavens declare the glory of God. So creation not only reveals the glory of God, creation reveals to us the power of God. God said, and it was. Amen? Man, let there be light. Is there anything cooler than that? So the power of God, and also creation reveals to us the grace of God. God made it all for you. He made it all for me. He made it for mankind. And then the sun, the moons, the stars, the seasons point us, remember, to the worship of God. So creation reveals to us the worship of God and how we're to worship Him. Remember how God set certain days and certain festivals like Passover and first fruits and so forth. And we learned the last time that we were together that creation teaches us the wisdom of God, that God uses the animals, the birds, the lilies of the field, roosters and ants, remember, to teach us all about His wisdom. You remember what He said in Proverbs 6:6. He said, "Go to the ant, you sluggard," in other words, you lazy person, "consider her ways and be wise." God says, here's the cure for laziness. Look at the ant. Study the ant and you'll learn. Remember what Jesus said to Peter. He says, "Peter, before the rooster crows three times, you're going to deny me." And there, you know what Peter did? He hated roosters the rest of his life. Amen? You know, and but think, now God created the morning. God created the rooster. He created the rooster to crow. He created the rooster to crow in the morning, and He used the rooster. All the way back in Genesis 1, God knew that it would affect one of the greatest men that ever lived. So creation teaches us the wisdom of God. Now tonight is difficult. And there are many points of view or different points of view. I'm just going to let the Bible speak for the Bible tonight, like I always do. I'm not going to try to read anything into this any more or any less because we don't fully understand it. And there's no way we fully comprehend this. But tonight, as we conclude chapter 1, creation is going to reveal unto us our worth, our value. Okay? So let's begin now, beginning in verse 26. It says, "Then God said, 'Let us,'" plural, "'let us make man in our image.'" In other words, a divine counsel of God was going on, according not only to our image, but according to our likeness. Now, there's one God manifested in three persons, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And look what they said. They said, "Let them," that's male and female, "let them have joint," if I could add that word there, "joint dominion over the fish, the sea, the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created. There's that word bara again, created out of nothing, just spoke it. And it says created in his own image, okay? Man in his own image, mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them. Now listen, we are not created man, male, female, mankind. We're not created in the image of angels. Now, there are those that say that when they said, let us create man in our image, it was like God was speaking to the angelic host. No, that's not true at all. God wasn't speaking to the angels. They're created beings. We're not like the angels at all. You know, we're created in the image of God. And we're certainly not created in the image of animals. Amen? Boy, we need to get that in our hearts. This world is so warped and so twisted. There's so many lies that mankind believes. But mankind didn't evolve. We're not highly educated animals, are we? No. No, not at all. Human life is a creative work of God. So when it says our image and our likeness there, what does that mean? I mean, does God look like me and you? Do you understand what I mean? Does God have a body? No. The Bible tells us in John 4:24, God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So God doesn't have human form until when? Until Jesus became man, amen? And then he became the exact representation or the image of, as it says in Colossians 1:15, the image of the invisible God. So, but when you start thinking about our body, you know, is God talking about our body here? When it says he created us in his image and his likeness? Because God doesn't have a body as far as we know. We don't understand that. So I don't think that the Lord is talking about our body here at all. You know, and more than that, you know, people say, well, you know, the body is evil. Well, my body's not evil, okay? In other words, there's not one thing wrong with this body except it's getting old, okay? And the fact is that the reason that people say the body is evil is because what the body does. But the body does what the body does because of what is inside the body. Does that make sense? Because we were born into sin. We were born sinners. Now, listen very carefully. So man yields their bodies as instruments to sin, like it says in Romans 6. We're not to do that. We're born again. So the reason that you want to slap somebody is not because your body wants to do it. It's because you want to do it. Does that make sense? You just happen to be in your body, and you're telling your body what to do. So there's nothing wrong with the body. So here, this has nothing to do with our body. It has to what God put into the body. Amen? Look at Genesis 7, and hold your place, though, but look right at Genesis 7. It says, and the Lord God formed man, just like a potter, okay? He formed man, how? Well, he formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became. He became then. He wasn't, but he became what? A living being. Now listen, there's Adam on the ground. Do you see him? God took some of the dirt, formed him, and he was perfect. In other words, he was in perfect health when God made him. Let's put it that way. All of his brain was there, his nostrils, his eyes, his teeth, his lips, everything. He formed everything. Does that make sense? He had perfect lungs and a perfect heart, except the lungs weren't breathing and the heart wasn't beating. Are you following me? It was just a dead body. There was no life to it, but the body was perfect. It wasn't decayed. There was nothing wrong with it. He formed it out of the dust of the earth. Listen, life can only come from life. And life, eternal life, living life, is a result of the breath of God. He breathed into Adam and he became a living being. Listen, we are an eternal being. What's on the inside. Now, this flesh is not going to make it. The old man here, this old flesh. No, it's not going to make it. But listen very carefully. You know, when we look at this here, we're never going to cease to exist because God breathed life into us. We're descendants from Adam. Now, man received his spirit directly from God. directly from God. God just simply breathed. Our bodies are going to return to the dust. Listen to Job 33:4. It says, "The Spirit of God has made me, and the breath of Almighty gives me life." Without that, Adam would just have been a piece of dust lying on the dust. Amen? That's all he would have been. It says in Psalm 103:13, it says, "As a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear him." Why? "For he knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust." We're made of dust. And guess what we do? We tend it as well. That's why when the fall came, what did the Lord say? In Genesis 3:19, he said, "Adam, in the sweat of your face you'll eat bread till you return to the ground. For out of it you were taken, for dust you are, and dust you shall return." So what did God, here we are, we have a body. Now, I don't know why God made the body the way he did. I don't understand it. I mean, God could have said, "Let's give them four eyes instead of two." You know where my mind is tonight. You understand? And we're so used to this body, but it's an incredible body, isn't it? But the reason it has life is because God breathed into it his spirit. We are body, soul, and spirit. The reason that we are capable of creating, because we create things, in other words, not out of nothing. We take things that are made and we create out of that. And so the reason is because we're made in the image and likeness of God. The reason that we have the emotion of joy is because it's a fruit of the Spirit. Amen? The reason that we're capable of loving is because it is a divine attribute of God. God is love. Think about that for a minute. You know, I mean, think of how many songs and movies and poems and cards are talked about love. How many ways mankind tries to express themselves about the way they feel about somebody else. It's amazing, isn't it? Well, the reason is because God breathed into us. Are you following me? Whatever that meant when he put our soul, our spirit, all of that together, I'm not for sure, but I just know this. The reason that we have a conscience, the reason that man thinks and reasons and plans and has any kind of moral goodness and any type of mercy, compassion, or any kind of feeling is because it came from God. Does that make sense? It came from God. It didn't evolve, believe me. I can just imagine how that would work. Amen. Oh, one day we decided to start loving people. Well, we evolved into that. Boy, and that is what you call bull. Amen? Yeah. No, listen, creation reveals our worth. It creation reveals our value. We did not evolve from animals. God created us in his own image, in his own likeness. Remember what it said in Matthew 6:26? Jesus said, "Look at the birds of the air. They don't sow, they don't reap, gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them." Here it comes. "Are you not of more value than they?" More value, much more value than they. We are created in the image of God. Schools are teaching all over the world, and have for generations now, that we are nothing more than we evolved from a monkey or something. You know what I'm saying? Listen. We live in such a troubled world. You know, you just listen to people talk in Planned Parenthood, for example. You know, they use words like, this is an unwanted pregnancy. What does that mean? Unwanted pregnancy. Or do you hear them say, well, you know, a baby in the womb is just a thing. I heard it was just an inconvenience. It's the wrong time in my life to have this baby. Where does that come from? Every baby, every child is made in the image of God. Amen? And we have to understand that. Jesus goes on, he's talking about our value in Matthew 10:29. Let me read to you. He says, "Are not two sparrows sold for a copper coin? And not one of them falls to the ground apart from your Father's will." Not one. How many sparrows you think are in the world? Well, I promise you one just fell. And you know what? God knows exactly where that sparrow is. And listen to what he says. Matthew 10:30, it says, "But the very hairs," Jesus said, "of your head are all numbered. Do not fear, therefore. Are you not of more value?" Creation reveals the value of man, okay? "Are you not more value than many sparrows?" If God says every hair on your head is valued, in other words, he numbers them. That doesn't mean he counts them, remember. He numbers them. To number your hairs means he knows where they go, where they belong. And you probably say, well, Bill, I'm not really worried if I have 100,000 or 200,000 or just 90,000. Well, some of you might, I don't know. But you understand? But God cares. That's how much He loves you. That's how much He values you, because He created you in His own image, in His own likeness. He gave you a body. So no matter what color you are, what race you are, no matter how old or how young, creation reveals your worth. You're made in the image of God. That's almost a frightening truth, you know. And so creation reveals our value. But do you know what? I went through the scriptures today, and I noticed that God gives us warnings about that. Hold your place in Genesis, and just turn to Genesis chapter 9, verse 6, and watch this. These warnings that God gives us. Of course, this is after Noah now into the new world. God says this, "Whoever sheds man's blood, by man his blood shall be shed." Well, why? The reason? "For in the image of God he made man." That's a warning. God says, you know what? Every person, all of mankind, there's a specific worth and a specific value on every person, whether they're saved or not. God says, mankind is made in my image and my likeness. I'm not talking now about the body. I'm talking about what he put in the body. Are you following me? See, we are eternal. We're never going to cease to exist. When a person dies, there's only two places they can go, and they'll be there forever and ever. There's not any alternative. There's no purgatory or any of that stuff. No. This right here in Genesis 9, 6 is a warning to us about premeditated murder. It's amazing that only a human being can be murdered. Think about that for a moment. And, you know, man protects the whales. They protect the spotted owls. They protect, you know, dogs. They protect cats. But they permit the murder of little babies. Listen, that embryo in a woman, loved one, that embryo is created in the image and likeness of God, and it is an eternal being. Amen? We need to remember that. And today, the society that we live in, you know, I do believe that each generation gets a little worse. And the reason I say that, and the reason the generation that is now, they don't think it's worse, is because they didn't live in the generation before them. And the only thing they know is a generation they live in, so this is the way it's always been. But we live in a time now, right now, when human life has no worth at all. I mean zilch, none. You go to Mexico, I promise you, you go there and just look at the hundreds of people or the thousands that have been murdered and slain, and how many people have just been dumped in mass graves. How many times do we have to read in the newspapers or hear on the news about teens killing other teens just so they can have those nice $150 tennis shoes they have? You understand? And I was sickened the other day as I read about those 18 men, teenagers and a couple of men, I guess, who actually gang raped a little 11-year-old girl. What kind of world do we live in? I'll tell you the kind. It's a type that says human life just doesn't have any worth today. We buy, sell. Human trafficking is at an all-time high in the world today, and North Texas is a hub for human trafficking. Think about that. Our own city, a hub for human trafficking. I look out today and I think of the genocides in just our lifetime. I mean, Serbia, Rwanda, and all the other things. And what this word that's come into our being in the last 10, 12 years, ethnic cleansing, or maybe 25 years. Think about that. Creation says to us, mankind is worth something. God puts a premium on it. It was the pinnacle of His creation, man, woman, mankind. And yet we live in a time when there's not a worth placed on human life. You know, I was talking to a woman today, and she was just terrified. And I said, "What's wrong?" She said, "I walked into, I don't know if it was Dillard's or whatever, a department store, Macy's or something. And I walked in to get a present for my mother for her birthday. And as I did, a man ran out and all these security guards were running out, and he ran in and stole all of the polo clothing on the table next to the door, and he ran, and there was a car waiting on him, and he just took off. And so the woman said, you know, because, I mean, you feel vulnerable. You follow what I'm saying? I mean, that person could have ran over her, could have shot her, who knows what. But the thing is, and then the store clerk told the lady, said, and you know what? They did the same thing Saturday. So, it's amazing, isn't it? The things that go on in this world. Well, there's not any worth as there used to be. You know, I know I've told you this over the years, and you can't help it because you've been here as long as I have. You just tell the stories over and over, okay? So it's just the way it is. But it doesn't change the truth. The truth is still the truth. We never, on the farm here, right here in Keller, before there was even 300 people in the whole place, okay? I went to my grandparents' farm where I grew up with them. We didn't even have a key to the house. We never locked our doors. The only time the doors were locked, they were screen doors in my, well, of course, we had a regular door, but there was a screen door. Remember this, what a screen door? You know, you let air come through the house, a screen door. You understand? And there was a lock on it, but the only reason we had a lock was so she could throw me out and say, you're going to play outside, you're not coming back in. But it's not like that anymore. Now you've got, you pay for these, what are they, alarm companies, you see. You pay for all that other junk. And now everybody has a gun. Think about it, the world that we live in. Okay, let's go. Okay. Now, one more. Another warning. Hold your place, but turn to James chapter 3. And let's look at this, talking about being made in the image of God here. Now, look at James 3 and look at verse 8. This other warning here from God. It says, but no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil. In other words, it's a restless evil, full of deadly poison. Now, that's a word from God, isn't it? He's not worried who he's going to make upset. In other words, he's saying what comes out of a man's mouth is like a snake seeking its prey. That's a pretty tough word right there. In other words, slowly just injecting poison into the conversation. And look at verse 9. And with it, meaning our tongues, okay, with it we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men, here it comes, look, who have been made in the what? Similitude, the likeness, the image and likeness of what? Of God. And out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. That is another warning from God. He's saying, listen, you start talking about that person next door or the person seated next to you in the church or whatever it is, and you're talking about them, you're cursing them, you're blessing them, oh Lord, I love you, and you look at them who's made in the image inside of them. They're an eternal being just like you are. God says, and you sit there and cut them down. Listen, God places a high value on mankind. He says, that should not be happening. And you know what? We're all guilty, aren't we? Every one of us. We're all guilty of this sin here. Be careful. Listen, love, let me tell you something. Everyone in this chapel, everyone, but just let's just look at us tonight. Everyone in this chapel, from the pulpit all the way down, we're all under construction. Amen? God is not finished with us. And you know what? Let's don't be guilty of that. Let's let our words build up people. You know, that's another issue that we're facing today is the bullying thing. And, you know, I guess bullying is a lot different now than it was when I was a kid and where we just settled it. You know what I'm saying? If we found a bully, we'd get 100 guys after him and take him out, you know? No, just joking. You know, and today it's people are committing suicide because they've been bullied in school and hurt and so forth. And, you know, words can hurt. Let me encourage you, if you have a Facebook page, I've never been on Facebook. I've never seen Facebook. I don't even like Facebook. I have nothing against Facebook, but I'm saying I'm not there. I don't have any of that stuff. And I'm not saying I'm better because I don't, but I'm probably wiser, but that's another story. But people get on there and they talk about people. Now, a lot of it, I'm sure, is good, but then a lot of it is bad because I've had people send excerpts. They copy and paste and send it to me what people have said. And I go, I don't send that to me, would you? Send me good things. If you're going to send me something, send me something that's going to edify me. Amen? Do you know that's what God wants you to do? If you don't believe me, what does Ephesians 4:29 say? It says, let no corrupt communication, no rotten words come out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification. In other words, to build us up. We need to build one another up, not tear one another down. Amen? Boy, I'll tell you, that is so important. We're all under construction. And you know, why don't we give each other a little slack? You know what I'm saying? You don't know, you know, a person, you don't know that they didn't smile at you this afternoon. You don't know what that person is going through. You don't know what they're experiencing in their heart. You don't know if they had a horrible day. You don't know my condition. I don't know your condition. We need to love one another. We need to help one another. Because see, God made us, amen? He formed us, and we are in the image and the likeness of God. You know, I read a story about the person who wrote that song that we sing here, Rock of Ages, and we all love that song. And you know, what a beautiful song, and you would think that a person who penned such an incredible hymn that is now just part of every generation, you'd have thought that this guy would have been just the best, most wonderful person on earth, right? Well, when he was 30 years old, he made these comments about John Wesley when John Wesley was past 70 years of age, and he wrote about it. He wrote this. Listen to what he said. He said about John Wesley, the person who penned Rock of Ages, he said this, John Wesley is a lurking assassin, guilty of audacity and falsehood, a knave, guilty of mean, malicious impotence. He's an Ishmaelite, a bigot, a papist, a defamer, a reviler, a liar, without the honesty of a heathen, an impudent slanderer, with satanic guilt only exceeded by Satan himself. If even by him, he is an echo of Satan. Hello, put that on Facebook, amen? Yeah, I'm going to use that. Now listen, man, can you believe that man said those things? He was saying that to John Wesley. My Lord. You know, we need to, again, love never fails. Love people. If you can't say something good about someone, don't say anything at all. But in the church, my goodness, at least we ought to build each other up. Now listen, when Adam fell, we fell with him, right? All right, now, God's purpose then, when we're born again, God's purpose then is to restore His image in us. When Adam sinned, boy, he broke fellowship with God, all right? Now, it says in Colossians 3:10, it says, put on the new man who is renewed in the knowledge, here it is, according to the image of Him who created him. See, we need to put on that new man. Because we're new creations, and God He lives in our heart now. It says in Romans 8:29, it says, for whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, meaning that Christ likeness. Aren't you glad that the Holy Spirit of God is working in you right now? You look back over the years and you can see how you've grown, how you've changed, how you've mellowed, and how the older that you get, the greater you understand grace. And mercy, God's grace, God's mercy, God's love, God's forgiveness. And you know what? It kind of settles you down a little bit, doesn't it? It makes you realize that you're not really as hot as you thought you were. You know what I mean? Or whatever. It says in 2 Corinthians 3:18, it says, but we all with unveiled face, beholding as a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed, here it is, into the same image, meaning Christ's likeness. That same image we're born again that lives in us now. And it's from glory to glory by the Spirit of God. So God says, now that you're born again, what was lost in the garden is being restored in your heart. In other words, you're being changed now from the inside to the outside. Jesus is now manifesting Himself from the inside to the outside in your life. Amen? And people see you walking in Christ. So creation reveals our value. And only mankind shares the attributes of God, and I thank God for that. Now, this is a good place right here to just stop and say this. If there was no Adam, as many people believe and say, if there was no Adam, then folks, the Bible is false. You hear me? The Bible is not true if there's no Adam. If there's no Adam, then Jesus in Matthew 19, verses 1-4, when he was talking about marriage and how he created a male and female and so forth, how they should be joined together permanently and becoming one flesh, then that means that Jesus was really mistaken, because if there's not an Adam, if there's not an Adam, that means that evolution is real. Aren't you glad that we know the truth? Aren't you glad that we know the truth tonight? Listen, do you know if there was no Adam, we don't even have an explanation for sin? Because see, the Bible tells us how sin came into the world. Now, let me read it to you from Romans 5:12. Therefore, just as through one man, meaning Adam, sin entered the world. That means that sin wasn't in the world at one time, okay? Sin entered the world through Adam. And it says, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men because all sinned. So Adam sinned. When he sinned, all mankind sinned as well. Isn't it amazing that all mankind sinned because Eve believed one sentence from the evil one, the father of lies? One sentence. Oh, you're not going to die, Eve. Oh, no, no, no. No, when you eat of this, you know, your eyes are going to be opened and you're going to be just like God, knowing good and evil. One sentence, and all of mankind fell. That's unbelievable. And the result of that sin there in Adam and Eve, death spread to all mankind. Now listen to me. Death didn't spread to all mankind because I sinned. Death spread to all mankind because they were a descendant of Adam. I'm going to die but I'm going to go home to be with the Lord. But the reason I'm going to die is because of what Adam did. Does that make sense? And so listen, but thank God that God made man, and then Jesus came and became the God-man. He took a body and he came to this earth. It says in Philippians 2:7, but Jesus, he made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant. That's the lowest status on the ladder, if you will. And coming in the likeness of man, being found in the appearance of man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Why? Well, yes, for our sins. Yes, to remove our guilt, our shame. Yes, so he could lead us to the Father. Yes, so he could become our great high priest. Yes, but to restore us what Adam lost. Creation reveals our value, who we are, because God made us. God is in us, his attributes and so forth. Doesn't mean we're God. It means that somehow or another we share in all of that. And I'm not for sure I understand it. Now look back at Genesis and let's look at the command there in verse 28. It says, then God blessed them and said to them, Adam and Eve, and said to them, be fruitful. In other words, reproduce and multiply. Fill the earth, subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over every living thing that moves on the earth. So how many of you have children? You don't have to raise your hand, but you who did, say, I do. Well, you know what? You just fulfilled that command right there. Now, there's 613 commands, and you filled one of them, all right? Now, the command to procreate, to have children, I tell you, I still today, you know, whenever we have children here and I go to the hospitals to visit the babies, or they bring the babies, you know, and I get to see them, I'm always amazed at babies. Aren't you? That a man and a woman can create a child. Do you understand what I'm saying? Does that not blow? That blows me away. That, I mean, not only just a child, listen to me. Create an eternal being. An eternal being. Yes, the old flesh is going to go back from the dust from which it's made, but the spirit goes to be with the Lord. Amen? And of course, one day we're going to get a brand new body. But imagine that. That just blows me away. See, today, you know, we're taught almost, if you have children, it's almost like God is punishing you, you know. No, God is blessing you. Listen to what the psalmist writes about children. He says in Psalm 127:3, he says, behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. In other words, children are a gift from God. When's the last time you told your kid, your child, you know what, you are a gift from God? Do that often. He says, and the fruit of the womb is a reward. In other words, children are a reward from the Lord. You know, Adam, you know, we get hung up on God put him in a garden so he was a gardener. No, Adam was given dominion. Adam and Eve, joint dominion over the earth. God created man to rule, not to be ruled. Amen? And so, you know, it says in Psalm 8:4, it says, "What is man that you're mindful of him, and the son of man that you visit him? For you've made him a little lower than the angels." One translation says, "You've made him a little less than divine. And you have crowned him with glory and honor." Isn't that amazing? That's written about us. You've crowned man with glory and honor. In the eyes of God, God says, you are to be honored in the universe. That's unbelievable. God reveals, or creation reveals, our value. And God gave man dominion. It says in Psalm 8:6, it says, "And you've made him to have dominion over the works of your hands." In other words, we're stewards. "And you've put all things under his feet." I hate it that Adam sold out in the garden, don't you? Had he not sold out, you know, it would have been a whole different time. But he did sell out. And you know what? I just thank God that today, since we're new creations in Christ, you know, that we rule and reign in this life. It says in Romans 8:17, by one Christ Jesus. Amen? We rule and we reign, it says. That's a very important word, and I thank the Lord for that. And then in verse 29, it says, "And God said, see, I have given you every herb that yields seed, which is on the face of all the earth, and every tree whose fruit yields seed, to you it shall be food." So I bet that was the best food in all the world, don't you? I mean, can you imagine really having a banana from Eden, or an apple, or a date? I like dates, don't you? You know, and I mean, think about all the food. And so, I mean, and then of course, then man's diet changed. Remember after the flood with Noah, it says in Genesis 9:3, God was speaking to Noah and says, "Every moving thing that lives shall be food for you. I have given all things, even the green herbs, but you shall not eat flesh with its life," that is, its blood. So God says, "Okay, Noah, here's the deal. This is a brand new world. It's a brand new time. I'm putting fear on all the animals. They're going to be afraid of you. But look out there, and if you like it, eat it." You understand? Of course, there were some dietary restrictions that came later. But then God says, just whatever you want. I mean, you know, you want a little chicken fried steak? You go right ahead. It's not going to hurt you. A little dinosaur burger? It's all right. You know what I'm saying? And so it was good. However, it says, "But not the blood." The blood, remember in Acts 15, the Jerusalem council, talking about the Gentiles, said, you know, you must keep from things strangled and from the blood and from sexual immorality. And, you know, you don't want to leave the blood in the body. In other words, a lot of people say, you know, how do you want your steak cooked today? And it comes out and you go, that's kind of frightening, you know. And I don't like that, okay? That doesn't mean you, I'm just telling you what I don't like. Not that you care, but I'm telling you. And, you know, that's why you have kosher food. That's like Hebrew hot dogs. Aren't those good? You know, and so forth. I'd eat one right now. I'm so hungry. I'd even eat a dinosaur burger, and I don't even know what it is. And so God gives a diet for man and so forth. And then in verse 30, he says, "And also to every beast of the earth, to every bird of the air, and to everything that creeps on the earth in which there is life, I have given every herb for food." And it was so. So the animal's diet is certainly different from man's diet, and that's because they're animals and man is not an animal. And God set up two different kind of diets there. So we're created in the image and the likeness of God. Can you imagine the intellect, the incredible intellect that Adam had? When we'll get over that in chapter 2, when he names all the animals. I mean, think of that. He gave a name to all the animals. And then he had to remember them, I guess. Think about that for a moment. And you think about he had dominion. And I don't want to stretch scripture, and I'm not going to get out there off into a rabbit trail. But if he had dominion over all of Eden, a perfect environment, I mean, just perfect, does that mean that he could have just walked right on water like the Lord Jesus? Because when Jesus came, the last Adam, when Jesus came, did he walk on water? Did he have dominion over the fish? Yes. He said, "Put your net down over here, boys, and there's a big catch there." Or about when the coin was in the mouth, the gold coin and so forth, and Peter went and got it. Or how about the storms and the waves and all of that? Be muzzled. He had dominion over all of it. So did Adam have dominion like that? I mean, did Adam say, Eve, just a minute, I'll be right there. I'm going to take a shortcut. And he just walks right over the water and, you know, he didn't go around. Never mind. And then God saw that everything that he made, it didn't evolve, everything that God made, nothing evolved. And indeed, it was what? Very good. So the evening and the morning were of the sixth day. Creation is complete, and God says it is exceedingly good. Imagine a perfect, sinless world. I tell you what's really unbelievable. Imagine if that fall hadn't have come and they had children, and you'd have perfect, sinless children. Hello, hello. Let's prepare our hearts for communion, shall we, tonight?